But right now, as we begin our program, I'm very happy to welcome both Adam Gaffney, Dr. Adam Gaffney, Assistant Professor of Medicine at Harvard Medical School, and also on the line with us is Bruce Leslie, President of the group First Focus on Children. And I want to welcome you both here this evening and appreciate you making time for this discussion about this budget bill that just passed last week. Thank you both.
Thank you for having us.
So last week, Congress passed Donald Trump and the Republican Party's federal budget. That is the largest transfer of wealth from working families and the poor to the wealthiest Americans in our nation's history. The budget cuts over $1 trillion from Medicaid and Medicare programs. It will take away millions of poor families' access to food and nutrition programs and is expected to close hundreds of rural and community hospitals. The budget is estimated to cause some 17 million Americans to lose their health care insurance over the course of the next 10 years, and that coverage being lost through Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act. So a lot to talk about here. A lot of depressing realities are setting in and will be setting in the coming months. But I'd like to begin this discussion by asking you, Dr. Gaffney, please provide an overview of the human cost of this Trump Republican budget from the perspective of a physician who understands the devastation that lack of health insurance has on both the young and the old.
Well, thank you for that question, because I think the health and human impacts of these provisions sometimes don't get enough attention. Look, we know that modern medical care saves lives. It can prevent disease. It can slow disease. It can control disease. It can save lives. When people don't have access to care, when you take away coverage, when you take away services, what happens? It's harmful to health. And, I'm an ICU physician. I see the consequences of patients not getting the care they need because they're uninsured or they can't afford it and other reasons. They often develop life-threatening complications of otherwise treatable illnesses and wind up in the ICU. So we're going to see a whole lot more of this, because this will be tantamount potentially to the largest loss of health coverage in American history. You mentioned, more than 11 million people could lose health coverage. That's in addition to millions more who will lose coverage due to the expiration of enhanced Affordable Care Act marketplace subsidies that had been put in place by the Biden administration. So just to cut to the chase, we did a study recently where we projected deaths and other forms of health harms from this legislation. And just based on the Medicaid cuts alone, we projected more than 16,500 deaths annually.
Now, that's sobering. And there were some other estimates we'll get to as to the possible mortality increase of people across the country. But I wanted to get to you, Bruce. Again, Bruce Leslie, president of the group First Focus on Children. Tell us about the work your group does, as well as your assessment about the healthcare and nutritional impact this just passed Trump GOP budget bill will have, especially on children that you focus on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the bill is devastating, I think, in a lot of ways. There's 37 million children who are covered by either Medicaid or the Children's Health Insurance Program. And there's 15 million children who rely on SNAP, or which is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or other, people also know it by as food stamps. And there's, the bill provides for over $1 trillion in healthcare cuts. And as Dr. Gaffney noted, basically the Congressional Budget Office has estimated that 17 million people, the combination of the two things he spoke about, will lose their health insurance. And then on top of that, there's about close to $200 billion in food stamp cuts. And that threatens, the nutrition of, millions of children across the country. And so the combination of those things, it's two very, very often it's to the same kids. And so we are threatening both their health and their nutrition. And it's astounding to me that what we're doing is cutting, you know, the healthcare and nutrition of low-income children to give tax breaks to the wealthy in this country. It's that is the decision they made, and it is quite disturbing that, you know, in addition to this massive transfer from poor people to the wealthy, it's also a huge transfer from young to old.
I remember watching Senate coverage of the final passage of this bill last week, and Democrats had put up some amendments. One of them was to stop any cuts in food and nutrition program benefits to children under 12. And every Republican voted against it. In other words, they were just trying to carve out a piece to save that funding for children under 12. And again, the Republicans opposed it. I'm laughing, but it's so angrifying and sick that it's hard to react, isn't it? And Dr. Gaffney, I'd like maybe to talk about the aspect of children and the problems that they are going to encounter, the health problems they're going to encounter as a result of the implementation of this bill.
Well, I mean, as we heard, you know, the bill does a number of different things, and it's worth, you know, delineating those briefly. I mean, one is that it cuts Medicaid, which is the health insurance program for low-income Americans, many children, also many working-age adults, also many elderly for whom it supplements their Medicare. So people sort of across the demographic spectrum who are low-income rely on this program. So the fact is you can't take $1 trillion out of a program and expect to cover the same number of people or cover the same amount of benefits. It's just ludicrous. And I think, you know, it's worth noting that the claims made as this bill pushed forward that somehow by Republican lawmakers that somehow they were not cutting Medicaid, but were somehow protecting it by kind of shedding the alleged, you know, freeloaders. It just flies in the face of just, you know, common sense. This is a devastating cut. Many children rely on this. And they, so, you know, some of the provisions would more affect working age adults, like the Medicaid work requirements. We can talk about that. Probably around 5 million people would lose coverage because of the red tape documentation requirements that those would impose. But children could also be affected by other provisions, you know, that change, for instance, how often, eligibility has to be documented and determined. And also, other provisions, and it's all kind of wonky, but there's something called provider taxes that are sort of workarounds by states to boost the amount of resources they have to provide for Medicaid patients. You know, ultimately, you cut that money, states have to make up for it somehow. Mm. So either they're going to cut benefits, they're going to cut enrollees, maybe they'll cut other programs. It's going to be hard for them to increase taxes to make up for the shortfall. I don't think that's going to happen. People will be affected across the lifespan. I'll mention, too, there will be distinct impacts on older Americans. I mentioned this earlier, but Medicaid is very important for many older Americans for whom it reduces the out-of-pocket costs for their medications, for instance. And that will be another group that will be impacted. And in fact, Medicare itself, despite Trump's promises to never touch Medicare, is actually also going to be cut, not due to a specific provision in the bill, but because of the fact that it would trigger something called sequestration, where it's a sort of automatic clawback because the deficit goes up so much. So this is going to affect many more people than folks realize. A much broader spectrum of the American public will be impacted by these healthcare cuts, and it's going to play out over the next few years.
Thank you for that, Dr. Gaffney. This is WPKN in Bridgeport. My name is Scott Harris. The program is Counterpoint. We're speaking this evening with Dr. Adam Gaffney, Assistant Professor of Medicine at Harvard Medical School, and Bruce Leslie, President of the group First Focus on Children. And I wanted to ask you both, first of all, Bruce, I'd like to have your comment on researchers at Yale University and the University of Pennsylvania recently warned that provisions in the Trump Republican federal budget could lead to more than 51,000 preventable deaths across the U.S. annually. Now, I know neither of you have worked on this study, but certainly I've seen similar studies that have come out in estimating the impact of these budget cuts, primarily healthcare cuts. But Bruce, what's your reaction to that?
Yeah, I absolutely. I mean, we've seen study after study on Medicaid proves that it saves lives. The preventive care that it provides also has enormous return on investment. I mean, if you improve the lives and health of children, it has lifetime implications for their well-being. And so you ensure that they are healthier, they perform better in school, they have better outcomes. They also have lifetime healthcare impacts. And so the investing in Medicaid has enormous long-term payoff. And if nothing else, you know, I mean, the bottom line is yes, it saves lives. And, you know, we have one of the worst infant and maternal mortality rates among wealthy nations in the world. We should be doing more, not less, to improve the lives of, you know, women and kids and families.
Thank you for that, Bruce. And Dr. Gaffney, what's your reaction to that figure? I know you mentioned another figure earlier about expected mortality as a result of these cuts, but generally, what's your reaction to what I think everybody expects is more people are going to die. More Americans will die as a result of this bill.
Well, no doubt about it. I mean, look, and this was the first comment I think I made. It's not controversial to say that modern medical care saves lives. It's why people go to the doctor. It's why we invest, you know, nearly a fifth of our economy into healthcare. It makes a difference. You know, the people who are doing all these cuts, they're keeping their health insurance, right? They believe it matters. You can't take away, 17 million people's health coverage and expect people's health not to worsen and for there not to be some deaths. The figures, as I mentioned, do line up. We had done a study where we looked at only the Medicaid cuts impact, and we found about 16,000 deaths annually as a result. The study you mentioned came up with a pretty ballpark similar figure for the Medicaid cuts. But they also looked at other provisions of the bill, like the impacts on elderly people's medication affordability, as well as reduced staffing in nursing homes. So it looked at multiple provisions. But when you look at just the Medicaid, yeah, the numbers were sort of in the same ballpark. And as I said, this is common sense. This is why we have a healthcare system. In our study, for instance, we found that we sort of projected health impacts, and we found that, you know, these kinds of cuts would lead, you know, to nearly 2 million people losing their personal physician, 1.3 million going without needed medications, nearly 380,000 women going without mammograms. And this is common sense, but it's important to put numbers to it because behind each of those numbers is a person.
Absolutely. You know, Donald Trump and the Republican members of Congress who voted for this budget have stuck to their talking points that the budget won't cut Medicaid and Medicare or the ACA. They talk about taking illegal, undocumented immigrants off the healthcare rolls, and everything I've read say that just is not a reality. There are not undocumented immigrants on the healthcare rolls of this country. So they talk about that this budget only imposes work requirements on able-bodied adults. And the president and Republicans also say they've allocated a $50 billion fund over 5 years to assist rural community hospitals that could face funding cuts and otherwise could go bankrupt and close. I wondered if I would ask you, Bruce, first to respond to these explanations that we get that minimize the impact.
Yeah, it's as Dr. Gaffney said, it's kind of stunning to say that the scoring of this bill by the Congressional Budget Office, which, you know, assesses what the effect of the cuts in the bill and they are cuts, are, and they estimate that over $1 trillion. This is the largest cut in the history of the Medicaid program, and it will be devastating. 17 million people will lose health insurance. And I think that the fact that they're putting money into a rural hospital fund of $50 billion is actually a tell. It shows that they know that this is going to have devastating impact. But the idea that a $50 billion fund is going to replace $1 trillion in cuts is ludicrous. But it was their way to buy off some votes to get their bill passed. But the fact of the matter is, the effect on people is tremendous. And even if you want to help hospitals, there's still going to be hospital closures across the country and all kinds of devastation as a result of this package. And it's really amazing because it's dominoes too. Like, the cuts to Medicaid are also compounded by the fact that in many programs, for example, school meals, they are reliant. You're eligible for Medicaid or SNAP. You are by definition categorically eligible for school meals. And so if people lose their Medicaid or SNAP, children, then they are then not categorically eligible for school meals and would have to apply. The consequence is that these same kids could be losing Medicaid, SNAP, and school meals. There's also, I don't want to take you far afield, but there's the child tax credit that they're also touting is also devastating. It kicks millions of children who are U.S. citizens off of the child tax credit, pushing them into poverty because they live in mixed status households, immigrant households. And on top of that, the way the bill works is that if you make too little, then you don't qualify for the child tax credit. So think of a pregnant woman who has any kinds of complications or has to take time off from work during either pregnancy and, of course, childbirth. They lose income. The household income can drop to such a point that child, that baby, and their siblings lose their child tax credit. So again, we're pushing kids into poverty. We are punishing them again and again, and their children. It's astounding, and the lie that these are not cuts is just wrong. It's compounding cuts.
And Dr. Gaffney, I know you addressed some of these issues earlier in our conversation, but how do you react to Trump and the Republicans minimizing the impact here of all these health care cuts?
Well, I think Bruce touched on many of the points I would have made, and I agree with the points he made. I'd add a couple things. So first off, let's go to the work requirements for a minute, because this is something that, unlike Medicaid cuts in general, polls reasonably well with the American public. People sort of think, okay, yeah, people should work if they're going to, why not? But here's the thing. These aren't actually work requirements. They're requirements to document in an onerous fashion through online portals various work or efforts and hours or reasons for inability to work. And this has already been done in two states, Arkansas and Georgia. And in Arkansas, 95% of the people who were sort of the target of these work requirements already worked or had a very good reason not to work, like they were in school or taking care of a dependent. And despite that, in Arkansas, 18,000 people lost their health coverage, and it had no impact on, pushing people back into the workforce. 18,000 people lost health coverage, even though 95% of the people, again, who were the target of those requirements, met the requirements. And that's because we know what happens when you put a whole big bundle of red tape between people and what they need. People don't jump through the hoops. They don't do the online portal right, this and that, and they fall through the hoops. And so the work requirements would result, by the Congressional Budget Office's estimation, in about 5 million people losing coverage, most of whom do work or have a reason why they can't work. And the reason why I emphasize that is because there's been a lot of discussion from this administration about efficiency and government, you know, getting rid of waste. But these work requirements are pure waste. We estimated in a recent analysis that states would have to spend nearly $5 billion to set up the electronic IT systems and the staffing and the training and the outreach. All of that bureaucracy, all of that red tape would impose $5 billion of cost on states just to basically bloating the administration, expenditures on administration and red tape. So that's something I think it's important to clarify for listeners. This isn't about work. It's about red tape. The second point I would make about the rural hospital fund, the $50 billion, as Bruce said, $50 billion versus $1 trillion. That's supposed to somehow, $50 billion is supposed to plug a $1 trillion hole. You don't need to be a mathematician to see that those numbers don't work out. Mm. The other thing I'll say about it is it's not just rural hospitals. It's safety net hospitals and wide variety of community hospitals that care for patients who might have lower incomes and rely on these health insurance plans. And those hospitals, when their revenue plunges, when their operating revenue goes down, well, what are they going to do? They're going to cut staff. They're going to cut services, or they may even close. And that's going to magnify the impact of these healthcare provisions and basically affect a much larger group, including people who don't even have these health plans.
Well, thank you both for response to that question and posing the explanation or minimization of the impact that we hear from Trump and the Republicans. Just a final question here for you both. Many of the cuts to Medicare and the ACA won't be implemented until after next November's midterm congressional elections. Of course, this was deliberately timed so that the Republicans that control both the House and Senate won't face a major backlash by voters. At least that's their thinking. And really, the question is who 15 months from now may not yet feel the negative impact of the major budget cuts to health care. So really the question is, how is education, political education, done so that people can participate in their democracy and either approve or disapprove of policies being implemented by the federal government and hold their politicians accountable? Are you both optimistic that so much of this bill and its cuts to Medicare and Medicaid and other programs will be widely known and people will have an opportunity to voice their opposition to it at the polls before these cuts are implemented? And I would ask you, Dr. Gaffney, to respond first.
Sure. Two points. One, you're right about the delayed implementation of these cuts, although I will say that premiums will start to increase for people with Affordable Care Act marketplaces because they failed to renew that rejuvenated support subsidies starting this January. So some Americans will start to see the premiums rise very soon. But to get to the more substantive part of the question, look, I don't know to what extent people will be fully aware of the magnitude of these cuts. What I do know is that they are extremely unpopular when you poll the American public. Study after study, poll after poll shows that Americans support more funding for programs like Medicaid, Medicare, are against cutting it. And the more you learn about these kinds of bills, like this bill that passed, when you actually give information, oh, it will do, you know, it will cut Medicaid, people will become uninsured. The share of people who are against it rises. This is extraordinarily unpopular. So it is up to people who care about our healthcare system to make sure everyone knows it. I just want to echo one last point that Bruce made, which is that this should be coupled with an understanding that the system as it is now is not good enough. You know, where things stand now with 25 million uninsured, far more underinsured, high copays, high deductibles, we should be talking about how do we make a healthcare system that meets everyone's needs, that delivers true universal coverage, that lowers costs for everyone, rather than going backwards. And I think it's going to be important to both fight against these cuts but also keep a positive vision for a better system that would help everyone while we do it.
Well said. And I know you work with Physicians for National Health Program, and that should be a topic of another program. I'd like to invite you both to talk about at a later date. But we only have a short time left, a minute or two. Bruce, maybe I could give you the last word here on political education. I know you guys aren't politicians, but certainly accountability for these decisions in Washington, are part of our democracy.
Yeah, I would underscore everything Dr. Gaffney said, and then also, you know, the enormous service you provide, Scott, in with this program of educating people, because the fact is there's a lot of misinformation being spread about, you know, this bill doesn't do any, you know, it doesn't have cuts. I actually believe that if you see some of the politicians, I think some of it is purposeful misinformation, but I actually believe that some of them actually, when we talk to some of them, they actually believe it. And so we need to educate people. And I do think that between, you know, the work that you're doing and we're all doing to educate people about the fact, Dr. Gaffney is absolutely right. Over 80% of people in this country do not support Medicaid cuts. And as they learn about it, it makes them very angry. And they do not think that we should be cutting health care. And just as he also said very well, We should be doing better. You know, we shouldn't be increasing the number of uninsured in this country. We should be cutting it. But this bill heads us completely in the wrong direction. And it is not some idea of a golden age. It is taking us backwards. We've been using the phrase making America unhealthy again or making America uninsured again to really try to get people to understand that this legislation. And even beyond the Medicaid chip and nutrition cuts, just in numerous ways, it really does fail children and families. And you know, we'll be tireless at trying to educate people about that fact.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. Love to continue the conversation on these and other topics at a future date. But thank you both for making time for this conversation. Bruce Leslie, president of the group First Focus on Children, and Dr. Adam Gaffney, assistant professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. Appreciate all you contributed to this information we all need about this huge bill with enormous impact. So thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.